John, chapter number 18. If you'd like to stand with me, we open the pages of God's eternal Word. John, chapter number 18, verse number 1. John, chapter number 18, and verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which He entered and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto Him, went forth, and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am He. If you notice in your Bible, the He is in italics. King James Bible's added that for continuity. He said, I am that I am. The Greek term for that is ego eimi. That is an emphatic saying of I am. When He said that, the Bible says, they fell backward. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon then as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground. Standing in the presence of the great I am, you don't stand. Then ask He them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. If therefore you seek Me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which He spake, Of them which Thou gavest Me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, true to his nature and character, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus to Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which My Father hath given Me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound Him. Father, Lord, add Your blessing the reading of Your Word now and give me the message You'd have me preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In the book of John, chapter number 18, you read there an account I'm sure very familiar with you. You've read it time and time again. It's a most remarkable thing that if you really believe what happened here that day when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed His nature as the great I am, none of them could stand in His presence. The Word of God says, There shall be no flesh that will glory in His sight. The Lord has made what you might call a buffer zone for His creatures and has given us a place where we are allowed to come into His presence, but only as we are sheltered and as we are kept in the cleft of the rock. The Bible says that you can draw nigh with a full assurance in a new and living way. Not the old way, but a new way. Therefore, you can come and you can approach God. But my friend, to dare to even stand before Him, unsaved, uncleansed, and unclothed, would be damnation enough in itself. You'd beg for hell. But I'm glad, thank God, that He's made a way for us to approach Him. And He bids us, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. In the book of John, chapter number 18, I want you to notice first of all the hypocrite. In verse number 5, the Bible said, Jesus said, I am. And Judas answered. He was the one that betrayed Him. He was the one who acted out the part as a disciple. He was the one who went out with the 12 as they laid hands on the sick and cast out devils and preached the Word of God. And Judas was well aware of Gethsemane. I'm sure he sat time again and watched the Lord Jesus Christ as He went into that place where He got along with God and He called upon heaven and he got a hold of the Lord God Almighty. It's such a shame that in all the times that Judas saw the Lord Jesus go to Gethsemane, he never went himself. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if Judas had gone in there? Wouldn't it be nice, my friend, if you stand around in the church and see all the stuff that goes on and watch people go down and pray in the altar and see the tears rise up in their eyes and know that they're getting right with God? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you did too? It would be a marvelous thing that if you came off of your hypocritical high horse and whoever you're hiding behind or whatever it is, that if you'd come out from behind it and realize that in that great judgment day, when it does come, friend, there'll be nothing or no one to hide behind. I want you to notice something else in verses 10 and 11 of John chapter number 18. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. He was going to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to take a sword and he was going to defend his master and his Lord. Now, his actions were noble enough. I'm sure in his heart that Simon Peter wanted to stop these people from taking the only one he'd ever known on this earth good, a man that loved him and a man that had saved him. But Simon Peter tried to do what nobody can do, and nowhere does the Lord ever ask you to do it. He doesn't need your defense. You don't need to defend him. You can't defend God. God doesn't need our defense. He doesn't need your strength. He doesn't need your intellect. He doesn't need your ability. He doesn't need your talent. He doesn't even need anything. He needs nothing that you have. But I tell you what you can do for him. If you'd like to do something for the Lord, why don't you preach Christ and preach Him in His name? Why don't you lift up the Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross and there He died for our sin? Let me give you four things. It took me 30 years to learn these. Nobody would ever preach them. First of all, preach the only righteousness there is, and that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Don't run to the Old Testament Scriptures and try to find righteousness that was applied to Old Testament believers and somehow or another work that over into the New Testament. The only righteousness that counts today is the righteousness of a sinless man who lived for 33 and a half years on this earth, and God takes that righteousness and applies it to your soul. And my friend, faith, you can have types of faith in the Old Testament, you can have lessons about faith, but my friend, let me tell you what faith is. It's Jesus Christ. That's the only faith that matters. It's the Son of God Himself. Our life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If I believe right about Jesus, I'll believe right about everything else. If I get Him wrong, nothing else is going to matter. Amen. 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 Let me tell you something else. In the Old Testament, it talks about eternity forever and ever and ever. But do you realize eternity is a person? He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I don't care how you read it and what you do with the Bible. Every book in that Bible points to Jesus. Every Old Testament theme that has meaning points to Jesus. If you want to preach Christ, preach salvation. Salvation is not doing. Salvation is not being. Salvation is not going. Salvation is not joining. Salvation is not trying. Salvation is a person. If you want to preach Christ, my friend, preach Him. He is salvation. It is a person. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son, you have not life. It's that simple. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care who you are. I don't care what church you belong to. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much authority you have, how well known you are. Jesus Christ and Him alone is salvation. You can do that. You can't defend Him, but you can sure preach Him. Amen. You know something, if you boil it down to its essential, I'm in here because of Jesus. I live because of Jesus. Jesus is where I'm headed. He's where I came from. He's why I'm here. He's what I'm about. He gives me life. He saved my soul. He keeps me saved. He'll present me blameless one day in the sight of God. For me to live is Christ. Amen. And to die is gain. Once you ever learn what Paul meant when he said that, you'll understand the essence of what the ministry is all about. We minister the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not minister stuff about Him or even what He's done. We minister Him. If you can't receive the Son, you can't receive life. Notice something else here. In chapter number 18, verses 21 through 23. Why ask thou me, ask them which hurt me, what I've said unto them? Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest's soul? Oh, I want to be one day. Can you imagine this soldier, this officer, this high and mighty of the earth, when he stands before the Creator of the universe, and the mark upon his face, the nail prints in his hands and in his feet were put there by human beings, by sons of Adam, by mankind. And here is one that had the gall to smite him in his face. Oh, what? A smiter. Yeah, he did. He smote the Son of God in his face. You say, preacher, I'd never do anything to hurt the Lord. Far be it from me, I've never heard him. But my friend, when we grieve the Holy Ghost, we're grieving the Spirit of Christ. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And the Holy Spirit is our very life blood flowing in our veins. For He is the Spirit of Christ. If you are walking with God, living for the Lord, if you are in fellowship with God, you will be far more sensitive to the power and presence of the Holy Ghost than anything in this world. Anything in this world. The Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you, feed you, impart to you the gifts of the Spirit, and give you life. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 18, verse number 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said, Therefore to him, art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Oh, Peter, he denied it and said, I am not. Peter, what you doing? Peter. Oh, Peter, listen. He denied and said, I am not. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't deny God. He didn't deny that he was a Jew. He didn't deny the temple. He denied the Son of God. Because it was not about God. It's not about the temple. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus. Always has been, always will be. God's not controversial. The temple's not controversial. Religion's not controversial. But bring up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've got a dogfight on your hands immediately. For He's the kind that either you're for or you're against. The Lord Jesus Christ is preached, you're either for Him or you're against Him. There's no middle ground. He said, you either for me or you're against me. You either love Him or you hate Him. You believe in Him or you don't believe in Him. You can go to church all your life, but my friend, if you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. He denied the Savior. Why, preacher? Because He didn't have the power to accept. He didn't have the power to stand for Him. That power had not been given as of yet. That power came later when He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And my friend, when He breathed on them and told them to receive ye the Holy Ghost and the power of heaven itself, then my friend, in Acts chapter number 2, He received power from on high. Power from above. Not from men, but from God. Power to stand. Power to preach. Power to testify. He received it from above. Amen. Notice what it says in verse number 28. John chapter 18, verse 28. This one here galls me. Yeah. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. My. How men have such a perverted sense of justice. My. They set liars to testify against Him. They paid huge amounts of money to the guards to say that someone came and stole Him away. They lied to Pontius Pilate and said He was trying to overthrow the government. They accused Him of being demon-possessed. They accused him of being born of fornication. They accused him of doing everything he did by the power of the devil himself. And they would not let themselves be defiled. Oh, it's a small thing, Paul said, that I'm judged by man's judgment. I agree with you, Paul. The Apostle Paul said, it's a small thing that I'm judged by man's judgment. Do you know what that literally means? He said, that is man's day. This is the day of man. This is the time of the hour of darkness. This is your judgment. This is the judgment of hell as it passes itself across the face of the earth. If you ever wanted to be treated fairly and right and judged right, if you ever want to be if you ever want somebody to deal with you on a just basis, you're not going to get it from man. You'll get it from God, though. He didn't get it. They lied on him. Oh, my, my, my. My, did they ever. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless and perfect and innocent and had never committed a sin. And yet, my friend, at the hands of man, he was treated like a dog. He was treated worse than a dog. He was taken out and crucified and beaten to death nearly. And that's what man did to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he would not defile himself. Everybody has his own perverted, distorted sense of right and wrong. Everybody does that which is right in his own eyes. It's worse now than it's ever been. The time of judgment is nothing compared to what we live in today. This is the most amoral, immoral crowd you ever lived in your life. My friend, I just read a few moments ago, teachers by the hundreds, yeah, even by the tens of hundreds around this country are fornicating with their students and being thrown in prison. There's nothing anymore. There's no rules. There's no barriers. There's no fences. There is no morality anymore. Everybody does that which is right in his own sight. People shack up today and they care nothing for it. It doesn't mean a thing to people anymore. And act like there's nothing to it, amen. You live in a time when men do that which was right in their own life. And yet the Bible said they would not defile themselves. Let me tell you the way to get right with God. The only way you can be right with God. And you better get right with God. And there's the only way you can. I like that old sign on the side of the road that says, prepare to meet thy God. That comes to the point. No him hauling around. It just says, prepare to meet thy God. Of course, that's an Old Testament quote. He's quoting the Word of God. Let me tell you what to do. Get on your face before God. Spread your life out before Him. Every avenue, every part, every detail, everything you do, lay it out before Him. I don't care what some man told you. I don't care what some church condones. Lay it out like Hezekiah did. Spread it out before Him. And say, now, Holy One, I want you to put your finger on what you don't like about my life. Amen. Amen. He would not defile himself. And yet he was putting an innocent man to death. Boy, if there's anything that'll make a man want to puke, it's that right there. Amen. Vomit for you high and falutin, high and mighty people, but just puke for us folks down here living everyday world. Don't some things just want to make you throw up? I mean, sometimes hypocrisy gets so thick, you get sick of yourself, don't you? To think somebody would not want to defile himself after all that Caiaphas and Annas had done. My goodness gracious, are you kidding? And so the Bible says in the book of John chapter number 18 and verse number 33, John 18 verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou King of the Jews? Pontius Pilate, a Roman prelate. Pontius Pilate, a Roman citizen. Pontius Pilate, a Roman authority, is questioning a little Jewish, an itinerant preacher. A Jew with no credentials and authority. He had no standing with the big crowd in Jerusalem. He had no degrees hanging from his name. He associated himself with nobody's school, nobody's clique, nobody's fellowship. He just went about doing good. Walking on oceans. signs and raising the dead and casting out devils and healing the sick and preaching like nobody ever preached before. The common people said, never a man spake like this man. And they said again, what manner of man is this? That even the seas and the wind obey him when he speaks. And yet he had no credentials when he stood before Pontius Pilate. But Pontius Pilate was no fool. He knew he had been delivered up because of envy. He knew that Jesus Christ was standing before him because the Jewish leaders of the day felt he had threatened them and their place and their position. And they had to get rid of him, and they were going to use the Romans to do the dirty work. Pontius Pilate knew all these things. Then he asked a question. He asked him a question. He wanted to know something. The Bible says that they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's not one out of 10, yea, not 99 out of 100 PhDs in this country that has a clue what he's made out of. He doesn't know why he does what he does. He doesn't understand the essence of sin. He doesn't realize that the power of the resurrected Son of God could change him instantaneously. Yet he has published papers. He is recognized the world over. He is accepted as the authority in his field. Yet he is dumber than a coal bucket when it comes to the essence of what he is. And like that man that stood up back there Wednesday night when he was dying with cancer in 1988, dying with cancer, his body emaciated with cancer, coming down to the end of his road. Death sentence had been passed upon him. He did not seek out the big preachers. He didn't even bother to look at them. Just got on his face and called out to God. And God says, I got a little country preacher up here. You go up there and I want you to go up to that little country preacher up there that nobody ever heard of. I want you to go find that little country preacher. Because he's a country preacher? No. Because nobody ever heard of him? No. Well, then why God send him up? Because he's a man of God. That happened to be a country preacher. You know what he did when he sought him out? He said, that little country preacher up there got a bunch of his deacons together and elders in the church together. And they gathered around him and they took an oil, anointing oil, olive oil. And they poured it over his head and they prayed over him, laid hands on him, and that's the God of Abraham. Daniel! Sarah said when he walked up to that lion's den, he walked up to the edge of it and he looked down in there. He said, oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve able to deliver you? That was an honest question. He wanted to know. I want to ask you today, is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? I dare say that little country preacher believed that. Do you believe that God is able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think? I dare say that little country preacher believed that. And he took oil. Where did he get that from, preacher? James 5:14. And he anointed him. And do you know what happened? That man is here today, 21 years later, completely healed. Cancer eradicated from his body. Gone. Why? Because a little country preacher believed in Jesus and the power of God to heal and save. God, don't ever let us become a city church. I don't want to be a city church. I don't ever want to be seen as a city preacher. I don't ever want to be seen as one of a certain crowd. I don't know what kind of a title you'll hang on me, but I'm going to tell you what I am. I believe the Bible. And if the fellowship that wants me to fellowship doesn't believe the Bible, I won't fellowship with that fellowship. And if the school that wants me to be part of their school, of their organization, and they don't believe the Bible, I won't be part of their school. Why? Because I want to be able, if you get up out of that seat and walk down here, or I walk in your room, and I walked in one the other day, and I walked in that room and I felt the power of God present to heal. I walked in that room and the power of God was so strong and so powerful to heal. And yet when I walked out of that room, I had been slapped in the face. And I knew it had been rejected. And God taught me another lesson. That sometimes it's hot. The only way you can learn them is experientially. Learn it. God can do what you need done, dear friend. Can you receive what you need? Can you receive that this morning? And don't ask me what room I went in. I won't tell you. That's between me and God. But boy, it was something for me. Man, I wrestled around with that for some time. I had a battle going on. Don't worry about it. God knows what it is. Amen. Look at John chapter number 19, verses 2 and 3. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Well, let me see now, Pilate. You are asking him questions. So you go from asking him questions to scourging him. But Pilate, I understand that's not really what you wanted to do, but because of expediency, because you wanted to keep peace, and because you wanted to keep authority in it where it should be in the land, it didn't make any difference to you if an innocent man had to pay for it. That's justice. That's earthly justice. Scourging killed many people. When you scourged someone, you tied them to a stake or chained their arms up above their head so that their whole body would be open. You ripped what few clothes they had off of them, and trained Roman soldiers would pick up clubs, pieces of chain, anything that they could get their hands on. Sometimes a piece of chain with metal embedded in it and bone embedded in it. Balls on the end of it. And they would take that and they would begin to beat the back, the legs of the individual to be scourged. I doubt Pilate watched it. But could be that the high priest Caiaphas and Annas, since they were so bloodthirsty, might have watched it. I don't know. But I know they beat him. They scourged him. Man was making his last statement about God's righteousness. Man was making his last statement about God's holiness. You see, friend, the righteousness of God is Jesus Christ. The holiness of God is Jesus Christ. The justice of God is Jesus Christ. The judgment of God is Jesus Christ. The purity of God is Jesus Christ. Everything God is manifest to man is Jesus Christ. So everything they did to Jesus Christ, they were doing it to the manifestation of God to mankind. And notice what the Bible says that they did in verse 2. Once they'd finished mocking, scourging, they platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. They buffeted him and they mocked him and they made fun of him. He had to suffer indignation and humiliation at the hands of these fornicating, drunken, blaspheming rabble that crawled up out of some hell hole somewhere. I'd say the average Roman soldier was nothing more than a piece of garbage. And here they are mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gracious God, isn't he, folks? Salvation's not cheap. Religion's cheap.
Yeah, brother.
Church membership's cheap. Your righteousness is cheap, cheap, cheap. Your goodness, all the good deeds you've ever acquired in your life, they're just junk. Just junk. Just so much nothing. The Apostle Paul said, "I took all my life and everything I'd ever done." He said, "I'll count it all but dung." Go look up what the word dung means. I mean, how could he got any more descriptive and lower than that?
He said, that's all it was. Well, that's all yours is. You tell an unsaved man that and he'll be highly offended.
You got that right, preacher. Amen.
Especially if he's never, let's say he's never had a broken home. Let's say he's never been arrested for drunk driving. Let's say he's never been in prison. Let's say he's never filed bankruptcy. Let's say he's, he's been an upstanding, well-respected man in the community. If you said something like that to him, he'd look at you and say, you're a fool. I'm too good for that.
Right. Yeah.
And that'll send him to hell because that's his pride. But the Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Who said that? You ought to know. He said, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, there's no soundness in us at all. Who said that? Isaiah said that. He said, throw your sins, be scarlet. You know who said that? Isaiah said that. I shall make them white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, it shall be as wool. Isaiah said that. His name means Jehovah saves. Yesiah. Jehovah saves. Isaiah. Now that's for us. And that's for the circuit court judge. That's for the President of the United States. That's for the Secretary of State. That's for the Commandant of the Marine Corps. That's for the chief of the banking system and industry in this country. That's for the CEO of Ford Motor Company and General Motors and Chrysler. That's for whosoever will. They need to be born again. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd use what I've said for the glory of God. Father, we can only speculate what kind of suffering the Lord went through. I've never seen a man scourged in real life, and I've never seen a man crucified in real life. I've never seen it, Lord, not with these eyes. Our Heavenly Father, it's just beyond my wildest imagination how horrible and horrid that something like that could be. But you did that because you loved us. And Father, it's because you want to help us this morning. You didn't do it to condemn us. You didn't have to do anything to condemn us. We were condemned already. You did it because you loved us. My, what greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. In Jesus' name, use what I've said now for the glory of God. In thy name we pray. And heads are bowed and nobody looking. Anybody raise your hand this morning? Say, pray for me, preacher. I want you to pray for me. God bless you back there. God bless you. We've got hands going up everywhere in here this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody in this house that would raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't know the Lord. I don't know Him. I just don't know Him. I know a lot about Him. I've even taught Sunday school and I can quote Scripture and read my Bible, but I don't know the Lord. I don't know Him. You see, that's probably the best way to explain salvation. You know a person. You know him intimately. You know him personally. And you know him inside you. Father, I pray for those who raise their hand. I pray for them, Lord. God, I've done what I can do. I'm just a preacher. It's your work. Let your sweet Holy Ghost now work in us this morning and do this, whatever you want to do with this service. In thy holy name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. And amen.